peanut butter and jelly sandwich is one of the first foods we learned to make as kids. It's a perfect flavor combination, and according to Chef Justin Warner, the principles behind a PB&J can be used to make other amazing flavor pairings, like tomato soup with grilled cheese ravioli and apricot and habanero wings. Well, Justin is a self-taught chef and host of Food Network's Foodie Call. He has used the concept of the PB&J to design nearly a dozen laws of cooking. Among them are the law of gin and tonic, the law of guacamole, and the law of, yes, cheese fries. He's collected them in a book, The Laws of Cooking and How to Break Them. And he sat down with our contributor, Von Diaz, in New York City.
Justin, thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So I've probably had over 100 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in my life. But to be honest, I've never stopped to think about the chemistry behind it or even what makes it so delicious. How did you come up with these laws of cooking?
Well, it started out as kind of reverse engineering things, understanding why a great dish that I had made sense, and then distilling compounds of the dish. Take, for example, a great pizza from, you know, some Neapolitan place. Why does it always work? Why does pizza almost always work? Well, you have something fruity, tomato. You have something rich and fatty, cheese. And then you have something to spread it on. And then if you look at peanut butter and jelly, it's the exact same thing. And so this kind of combination of fat, fruit, and something to spread it on is an archetype. It's a law. And the reason I call it the law of peanut butter and jelly is because peanut butter and jelly is really kind of the first complex dish that we learned to make as children in America.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about the things that I was eating that I loved, the more I realized that they all followed these laws. And then I guess I figured out that the dishes that were kind of head-scratchingly wonderful for me that really pushed me, they followed the law, but then something broke it.
Hmm.
And I'm addicted to that play.
What are some of those things?
Oh, for example, you know, I'll have like a foie gras dish, for example, at a great restaurant, and it'll have cocoa nib with it. And adding a bitter component, when generally a foie gras dish will follow the law of peanut butter and jelly, rich foie, fruity something, something to spread it on. So by adding a weird discordant flavor, it becomes like very addictive.
Huh, cool.
Yeah.
So Justin, just list them off. Tell me a few of these laws.
Sure. So the law of peanut butter and jelly, which is about dealing with fruitiness and fats. Then you have the law of coffee, cream, and sugar, which is about dealing with bitter things and how they relate to sweetness and fats. Then you have the law of bagel and lox, which is basically about our relationship with smoke. Hot dog, which is with salty and cured foods. The law of the wedge salad, which is about dealing with funky things like blue cheese or lamb or squab. The law of guacamole, which is about understanding fresh fats, which is kind of my term, but that's plant-based fats.
Mm-hmm.
The law of cheese fries, which was really weird, which is about dealing with sharp things, things that kind of hit you in the back of the nose, like a sharp cheese or mustard or wasabi. Then you have the law of lemonade, which is commonly found in fast food, which is our play between sweet and sour. The law of pesto, which deals with herbaceousness. The law of General Tso's chicken, which is about spiciness. And finally, the law of gin and tonic, which is about following your nose.
Hmm. What was the hardest law for you to come up with?
I tell you, that's a great question. I want to say it's the law of gin and tonic, which
required, my favorite.
Thank you. It required a lot of research on the internet. Because these are all based on things that we don't understand. The law of gin and tonic is based on how compounds that we smell are in foods. For example, pork liver and jasmine are actually, the aroma is made up of the same compounds. Weird. Did I know that? No.
Hmm.
I'm not a perfumologist and a scientific cook. It was developed by Heston Blumenthal and actually a perfume guy. And so, for example, the gin and tonic, like our noses knew that quinine, juniper, and lime all had similar aromatic compounds. Our noses knew that, but we didn't scientifically know that. You know, we were drinking this in like, you know, malaria times.
Mm-hmm.
Wild, right?
Yeah.
So that was a tough one to pin down.
So one particular recipe that's in this book that you're really known for is the foie gras donut.
Yeah, everybody.
Do you think that people are really going to make foie gras donuts in their houses?
So check it. I just had someone post, and it's only because I'm a narcissist and I constantly Google myself. The recipe popped up from a Texan who lives in New York who made the donut, but then stuffed it with cranberry jam, which is not my recipe, to use up extra cranberry sauce from Thanksgiving.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, and I was really excited about it. So yes, people are making this.
And what are some of your favorite things that you actually make at home?
I'm really addicted to the not college ramen broth right now, which is in the law of the hot dog. I mean, if you think about ramen, it's basically a liquefied hot dog.
And can you explain the law of the hot dog?
Sure. The law of the hot dog is really about kind of salty and cured things. And so if you think about the saltiness of the ramen broth, and then you add pork belly and you add all these condiments to it, and then you basically just have noodles swimming around in this. The noodles are just like a hot dog bun. The broth is just like the hot dog. And then anything else you want to put on it, you know, from here to Chicago, that's ramen.
Awesome.
I also love the there's a really great vegetarian chili recipe that a lot of people are like, I can't believe there's no meat in this. We use pecans and dehydrated mushroom, and you grind up the mushroom powder, and that expands and thickens it and creates like all sorts of deep, dark umami chili flavors.
So what do you think these laws teach you about how to cook?
I think they teach you fundamentals that you'll never learn. And the fundamentals are actually about our tongues and our interactions with food. And when I think that when you learn that a lot of really great dishes are based off of simple formulas, you can kind of look through your pantry and say, oh, I have a sweet thing. It's not what the recipe called for, but I have a sweet thing. I have a rich thing. And then you learn how to build. It's in the beginning of the book, I talk about how flavors are like Lego. You know, it's like a system.
Yeah.
All Lego fits together always. And I think once you understand how food fits together, which is what this book is about, you're free to jam. You don't need my book anymore.
Awesome. Well, Justin, thanks so much for being here.
A super pleasure. An honor.
Thanks.
Justin Warner is author of The Laws of Cooking. Von Diaz is a writer and food editor of Feet in Two Worlds. Test out some of Justin's laws in your own kitchen. Find his recipes for Better Tomorrow Vegan Chili and his infamous foie gras donut. That's worth a try. SplendidTable.org.